Good morning. It's great to see you all. We are excited to have a chance to gather together. This text is all about the church, and so I think it should help encourage us and support us of what the church really is about, of what we are to be about. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. These are who's writing it. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. You remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that He has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering, with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. We pray that you'd help still our hearts, help us to be more aware of your presence. We have declared your glory. We have sung your praise. We have confessed our sin, and we have received your forgiveness. Now, Lord, help us have ears to hear and a heart to believe. Help us know you and follow you. We give you thanks and praise. Amen. So what do you think a church should look like? I mean, there was a time when people were meeting in a living room about this church. They were meeting, they were talking, they were praying, they were imagining, they were dreaming, they were saying, God, what do you want to do? They got together weekly, sometimes multiple times in the week. They prayed for each other. They imagined and they prayed, said, Lord, what do you want? Those people were like a lot like you and me. They had problems. They had challenges. They had illness. They had struggles with jobs, with work, with employees, with coworkers, with fill in your blank. They were real people. Well, the church we just read about, real people as well. People that really came to be in an incredible time of suffering. If you want to find out a little bit more about their beginnings, there's another book in the Bible called Acts. It's Acts of the Holy Spirit and the early church. In Acts chapter 17, we find this church being born, and they are being born again in and through this suffering. They didn't have pretty wood ceilings. They didn't have the arch. They didn't have the nice little, you know, at the top we have, you know. No, they don't, no, none of that. They probably didn't have wax floors, probably dirt, maybe some stone. They didn't have everything that you think of when you think of church, because most of the times we think of a building when we think of church. It is theologically impossible to go to church. Now, what that means is that's a place. The church is a gathering of people. The church is a gathered community of people. This was a very common phrase in the Roman days. This phrase would have been used when, again, a people would get together, maybe for a political gathering, maybe for a gathering of another sort, but it was always a group who was committed to one another for something or someone. Very common word. And yet we don't think of a gathering, usually. We don't think of a people that are together because of this one Lord named Jesus. See, they were gathered together and they found their identity in God. This suffering that they were experiencing was because Christianity was being kicked out, if you will. It was an illegal religion became, if you will, outlaws. It was not the popular thing to do, and yet still resonated. They suffered, and yet still God rose them up. So where are you at with that? Maybe you've never suffered for your faith. That's okay. Don't feel bad about that. The reality is, it is what it is. But he has us here for a reason. Where's your identity? Is it in God? Or is it in our stuff? Or, as one pastor says, he says, we have these like surface idols, and then we have these deep idols. The surface idols might be, if you will, the things we have, the nice stuff, and the maybe, again, the respect of others. But the deep idols, again, are that prestige, what we want others to think when they're around us. Those things that our hearts really are going after. We don't really announce it to everyone. I want popularity. I want fame. No, we kind of hold those a little bit deeper, closer to the vest. And yet, these idols are those things that can get in the way. Not can, will get in the way of God's purposes for us, of his love for us, and what he wants to do through us. There's this phrase, if you will, if you saw it in the beginning, in the early on, verse 3, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, okay? Your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if this is, again, you're a first-time guest, or if you're new to Christianity, or you came because your mom, your grandma, or your friend said, you must come, and you're like, okay, I'll come, but not because I want to. Totally respect where you're at, totally support you in that, in the fact that it's okay. It takes a lot of courage to come to a new place, new church especially, one. Two, though, understand that this was one of the earliest letters we know of from Paul. And he ended up writing this other letter called 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, if you will. And in there's this phrase, talks about faith, hope, and love. This is probably one of the earliest times he put those three together. But he doesn't end on the traditional way that we kind of, you might see signs, you might see cards done at faith, hope, love. The grace of these is love. It's good stuff. You might hear it at weddings a lot, okay? But he ends on hope. How many of you need hope right now? This is a group, a gathered community that is suffering, that has experienced great loss. You lost a family member recently? You probably need hope. Not sure what tomorrow's going to bring? You need hope. How do we have hope in the midst of the trials and the suffering? This letter is all about hope and holiness. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to have a chance to go through this and look at this. But this hope that endures, how can we maybe surrender to it? I'm not a three-point sermon guy. If you go to churches and you hear people, and here's my third point, I never have a third point. I just want to let you know that. I always try to give you one point. Why? Because most of us only remember one thing, and I'd rather you remember one thing and make three sermons out of it. Okay, let's do three sermons and okay for the 3 points. Today, though, this text just really just kind of comes together because of, if you will, these triads that are throughout these first 10 verses. Not just, if you will, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay? But we have this, again, faith, love, and hope. And in these, you'll see these, if you will, these three of being chosen, changed, and converted. And I'll go back. So here they are, this chosen people, chosen by God, chosen for others to know his love and his hope. And he gives them three things, talks about this power that they're going to have, that they have together by this Holy Spirit that lives within them. And he gives them a deep conviction. He says, you know that there's something going on here. Not only has God made himself known, not only, we never have to pray for God to be with us. Scripture is very clear. God is always with us. We're not always aware of it. We sometimes get shooken in things and kind of like, whoa, what? I don't know what happened there, but whew, got through. But sometimes we just need to be made more aware. And that's from the Holy Spirit working in us and helping us surrender, helping us trust, helping us hear what he wants to do. And so he talks about this, if you will, that he says, for we know, brothers and sisters, that loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. That there's transformation, there's change. With the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. So there's this, again, this triad that's going on. And so we have this, if you will, chosen. And then we have this change that happens. This changing that we are invited to, if you will, see. They were changed by being imitators. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering. You welcomed it. Even though things weren't normal. Even though things weren't as you hoped for. Even though things weren't what you so desperately needed. Yet, they still were imitators. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so, they were imitators, yes. And they were a model. How are they a model? Because again, as it says in verse 7, and so you became a model to all the believers. And notice it's singular. The church together, the gathered community together are a model to the world. They became imitators of the Lord and of them. And then they actually started to live it out in a way that others came to know it. And then finally, after imitators and model, after imitators and model, and maybe not. I'm sorry, folks. Let's try that again. It's my first time doing this. Imitators, model, and then they became heralds. I find that it's a lot easier when you don't take yourself too seriously. Life is a little bit more enjoyable. So, yeah, it's nicely being humble. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. But the reality is they started telling others. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. It wasn't something they went to. They didn't go to church Sunday morning. It was something they were. They were imitators. They were working at trying to do what they saw was being done. Then they became this model to others. As they lived, as they worked, wherever they found themselves, guess what? They were God's hands and God's feet. Where's God placed you? You may think, I don't know, I got nothing going on. I had two conversations last night, two longtime friends, both retired. I was down in the Stewart area last night, and I was talking with them, and one of them is like, yeah, I've been retired for about a year and a half, and after about 6 months, I was so bored, I had to go find something to go do. So I got a part-time job at Disney. I went, say what? he lives like in like Jupiter kind of area, or Stewart area? I was like, Stewart. And I said, what? And he's like, yeah, I always loved Disney, and I just thought, man, that'd be fun. Why? I'd love to see how they train people. He was curious. Like, man, I bet you they have the best training in the world. I said, well, was it good? He's like, yeah, it's pretty awesome. They did a really good job and stuff. So, you know, I was like, so where's the secret places I'm not allowed to go, but I can, you know, he's like, no, I can't tell you. Anyway, I was like, oh, come on. But here he is talking about this and just saying, yeah, I get to make someone's day. In fact, part of my job is helping them, if you will, discover the magic, as he put it. Here's a believer in Christ, though. And he's like, man, I get to make people's day. He says, you know what I did this last week? I said, I have no idea, so tell me. I love when people ask you a question to go kind of like, hey, can I ask you a question? Because I want to ask you a question. But anyways, so he's like, I said, so tell me. He's like, what? You know, I saw this family, and they're trying to take a picture and stuff, and I could see that no one else is, you know, they're not everyone's in the picture, and they were like kind of rotating out to take the picture so they can say, well, everyone's here except, you know. And so he's like, well, do you mind if can I take the picture for you? Would that be okay? Sure. Gets the camera. Everyone gets in, takes the picture. He's like, hey, I hope you have a wonderful day today. As he's turning around to walk away, the patriarch or the family kind of comes over and says, I just got to say, that's the very first picture. We've been on vacation. This is one of our biggest family gatherings we've had in years. And this is our first picture all together. Thank you for making our day. And he's going, it's the little things, Dust. It's the little things. Where has God placed you? It's the little things. I talked to my other friend who's, again, retired. He, unfortunately, he just has a point. He's like, no. I says, I haven't gotten tired of being retired yet. I said, okay, that's okay. That's okay. He said, maybe one day, but nah, this is great just sitting around doing nothing. And I said, He goes, and you'll find that nothing takes up all your day. I'll take your word on that. I think about that as earlier this week at during preschool, parents are coming in, parents are coming out, and so they're kind of waiting for that transition. And so we had a parent that was kind of sitting here, and God bless her. She just came. She's like, is there anything you guys need me to do? And thank goodness Amanda's like, why, I have a job for you, you know. And so Amanda pulls her in. She's like assembling notebooks for our gathering for later tonight for our study. And as we're going through it, you know, I'm like, thank you so much. And she comes out. She's like, you know, oh, it's my pleasure. I don't do anything. I drop my child off. I know you're great with them. I have 2 to 3 hours of just, this is great. I do nothing. And they're like parents that are kind of like stepping closer, like, how do you do that? Like, I mean, like all the families are like, what do you do? Anyways, I was dying. And think again, just about our realities. To go back. So again, been chosen, we've been changed, and now converted. This conversion, if you will, is a turning, if you will, away, a turning towards something. They turned away from their idols and they turned to God, from idols to serve the living and true God. What do you need to turn from? What's holding you captive? Sometimes those secrets we think no one would ever be able to love us if they knew. Let me just tell you one thing. No, I'll give you two. God's big enough. And number two, there's a friend or two in your life that would hear you and help embrace you in grace and love. And say, let's pray for this. Let's ask God to move in this. And I want you to know, I'm with you. You know, our deacons do that, by the way. Our deacons are really good at that. If you're a partner of our church, you're given, if you will, a deacon. Someone who meets together with other deacons, prays for you daily, that lifts you up, that every now and again will check in on you. Not to be nosy, just to say, hey, is everything going okay in your life? Where are you at? What's going on? We're here for you. And I'm so grateful for their ministry. But that's where God has them, and they're stepping up in that way. And so we have, if you will, this turning, and then the serving that they didn't just turn away from God, but they're part of what is God doing. So they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You got to turn away, and then you can really embrace serving others. And in the serving, you'll find that there is this waiting. There is this, okay, Lord, what are you going to do in this person's life? You don't know. Today, I was talking with Pastor George, they're starting Stephen Ministry training. And Stephen ministers are like deacons, like exponentially times 10. I mean, they're just, they have like 50 hours of training, if I'm right? 50 hours of plus of training that they get together and to just help people journey with others. To remind them that God is walking with them every step of the way. They're not counselors. They're not problem solvers. They're there to remind you of God's hope, His forgiveness, His future, that His calling on you, and to help you in whatever challenge you're facing. Could be medical, could be relational, could be multiple other things. But you just need someone to be with you in that time period. And they're beautiful people when they do that. It's just people, sometimes that's the first time they've felt loved unconditionally. So these Stephen ministers are getting ready to start their training. If you're interested in finding out how you can maybe be of service, see Pastor George or see Diane. If I were you, there I'd be. Okay. See Diane, she's yellow shirt. She'll wave and dance for you later. But if you're interested, let us know. We'd love to help you out. But here they are serving. Not because they have it all together. Yes, they have tons of training. And yes, they care deeply. But it's because God's called them to do it. And they feel like this is what, man, they just kind of been made to do. And so they walk with them and they hear them and they listen and they pray and they're reminded. And here's what I find when I talk with Stephen ministers. I get so much more out of it than I feel like I give. Interesting. How once we, if you will, turn and we start to serve, then it's about waiting though. This waiting for the Son. They didn't wait and not serve. They didn't help others. No, they are waiting and serving others. They're staying focused and true. And so I guess the question is, how does your life pass on the message of hope? Where do you need to really turn it over to the Lord? That you've been chosen, that you've been changed, and you've been converted. That sounds like weird church language, I know. But don't get caught up in that. This is so much bigger than you and me. Where do you need deep change to take place? Sometimes life throws us things that we have questions about, like the hurricane of Florence and the challenge that they have and the reality of what their world looks like and the months, if not years, it's going to take for them to recover and the loss. And sometimes we have these questions that happen and we just go, Lord, we know he's in your hands. And we're trusting him with you. Every family's different. I don't know if you've ever had to wait for surgery. Every family's different. And I love the Westerner / Cutler family because some families, calm, peace, meditative music, maybe they read something, the Cutlers are the absolute opposite of that, and that was great, except for the sister who was working the room, as in like, you know, the sister who was volunteering and helping out. She was kind of like, there might be other people that come, so you might have to kind of break apart, right? And I'm going, oh, okay, well, thank you. And I'm thinking, and then later I'm like, wait a minute, that was her way of saying, you guys need to keep it down, didn't it? I've never laughed that much ever waiting for surgery. I mean, we were roaring and rolling, and I was just like, thank you, God. And that's what they needed. There's no right way or wrong way. It is what it is. But God so cares for little Bradley, just like he cares for his parents. And so Bradley and Caitlin were challenged. And they were asked to truly learn, Lord, we need you now. We need you. Their prayers had an honesty they may have never had before this moment. The challenge for you and me, the challenge that we both face, that we all face, is are we going to be a church that just is this destination that we go to, or are we going to be who God wants us to be? If you're curious more about how to do that and what that looks like and to go a little bit deeper, I hope you'll be able to fit in, if you will, our potluck dinner tonight in the next few weeks. But it's going to be a great study, and we'll be able to really dialogue some more on this. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for a chance to come and celebrate with our brothers and sisters. Thank you for our wonderful children's environment and the leaders and the servants that help and care and are working to try to pass on the faith to the next generation. May you continue to raise them up and help us to be a church that just passes that on and loves them and serves them. Lord, we pray for our sister churches around the area and for your church universal. We pray that you would raise up disciples, followers of you, who are becoming, who are maybe imitating, but now are becoming a model. Changes from the inside out, Lord. We pray for this world. We pray for our leaders. We ask for humility upon them. We ask for wisdom. We pray, Lord, that you'd bring your love and your kingdom to bear. And thank you, Lord, for all the things that we're a part of, that we get to play a part in how you have us and where you have us. It is not something that we take lightly. And we give you thanks for the celebrations. Some of us maybe have turned 90 this week. We thank you for that life. We pray for them and for what you're wanting to still continue to do in them and how happy and pleased you are with them. Lord, we remember what you taught your disciples in praying the Lord's Prayer by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.